FNB house price index shows that house prices rose 3.3% in May compared to 3.4% in April on a year-on-year basis. In real terms, that is when you take inflation into account, house prices are actually declining. To give us a breakdown of what's happening in the property market, I'm joined on the line by Sipho Mandla Mkhwananzi. He's an economist at FNB. Sipho Mandla, the property market serves as a good barometer of what's happening in the economy, and clearly it remains subdued, doesn't it?
It does. It does remain subdued. And it does show that demand is quite weak at the moment. People are just not willing to commit to those big financial obligations at the moment.
Your report looks at home transactions that took place in the first quarter. What trends did you observe in the lower tier housing sector compared to, say, your upper to, your middle to upper tier properties in terms of price?
Right. So as it has been for the past couple of years, we've seen that the lower end of the market usually registers better house price growth versus the upper end of the market. And that is largely reflective of the supply and demand imbalances that exist across price segments. In the upper end, that's where you see supply exceeding demand mainly, whereas at the lower end, it's the other way around.
Yes.
There's insufficient supply, particularly of quality, well-priced properties in the lower end of the market. So you've got those supply-demand imbalances existing there, which is boosting prices in the lower end of the price range. But additionally, you find people who are traditionally in the higher income bands buying in the lower end of the market, which is also boosting demand in the lower end.
Oh, very interesting. So when it comes to the lower end of the housing market, you've just described the situation there that basically, you know, the supply-demand situation is rather tight. So are we seeing projects in the pipeline around the country to try and meet that demand?
Yes, we are. For a change, there at least is an intention to address that kind of a situation. I mean, in the past couple of months, we've heard that the city of Johannesburg is embarking on this large-scale project that aims at addressing that shortage in the lower end of the market. And it's such large-scale initiatives. That would cure that supply-demand imbalance in the lower end.
Mm.
So it's welcome development, because the issue has been the availability of well-priced properties.
Yes.
And well-located properties, so nearer to economic opportunities. Whereas in some cases, you would find properties that are located in the outskirts of the city, which makes it difficult for people to commute in between their homes and their workplaces.
Yes, and particularly for people who come from, you know, black and coloured communities where there's been that spatial development where people's homes are far flung from where they actually work, and it costs them so much money, etc., etc.
Exactly. So that's what we've been seeing. And what ends up happening is that a large proportion of consumer spending goes to transport, just commuting between home and work. And obviously that has implications on their spending power, number one,
yes,
and productivity as well. Because you speak of one of the ways to grow the economy is for your labor market to be more productive.
So
it's one of the ways to support our struggling economy at the moment.
Sipho Mandla, when it comes to the more expensive properties, you indicate that there's a surplus in supply. Can we expect some further downward price pressure on these properties in order for basically this excess supply to be mopped up?
Yes. So there are interesting trends there in the upper end, because even the upper end is not homogenous. It's not exactly the same.
Yes.
But in the main, for us to start seeing an improvement in house prices in the upper end, they definitely will have to be, one, demand will have to strengthen to mop up that excess supply before we can see a turnaround in prices. But we don't see any indications of demand turning around at the moment, which will then mean that we might see this prolonged subdued house price growth in South Africa for most likely longer before a turnaround.
Hmm.
But what's interesting is that even in that upper end, in that upper end of the market, there are purchases of holiday holiday properties, the purchases of investment properties, that we find, especially in the last quarter, in the first quarter, that there was a slight uptick, and presumably it was in anticipation of improved sentiment, because it was leading to the election.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a slight uptick there, and that follows a prolonged period of subdued activity in those segments, in which case prices even declined below zero. So it means that investors or holiday buyers went ahead and took advantage of those attractive prices in those particular segments. And we started seeing prices of, for example, of holiday homes starting to tick up. I mean, it's not really starting to tick up, it's really just a recovery.
Yes.
And I think that it was in anticipation of an improved sentiment post-elections.
Mm. I guess we just have to wait and see whether there's momentum there. I think these days where job security appears to be a thing of the past, there's a real disincentive to consider committing to purchasing a long-term asset like property, as you mentioned at the top of our conversation, especially for young people who are just, you know, getting started. But do you think the housing market is sufficiently attractive now for buyers that if you can, you should go ahead and buy a property?
It is becoming increasingly attractive, especially when we talk of certain areas where there is nominal house price decline, which means that even if your salary were to stay the same, the level of affordability would slightly improve because there is a nominal decline in house prices, so meaning that the price is going down even if your income stays the same. So it is becoming increasingly attractive for buyers. It is definitely is a buyer's market, especially in the middle, to the higher end of the price range.
Mm.
There are limiting factors, as you correctly mentioned, that there are issues of a weak labor market, which is not really supportive. So income growth is not really supportive there. It's income growth has been relatively weak. There is also, especially in a downturn in that economic cycle, when there's a downturn, usually lending standards from lenders, from financial institutions, tend to tighten, meaning that it becomes slightly more difficult for you to get funding when the economy is going down.
Yes.
Even if your affordability, even if there's generally more affordability in the economy, so it becomes then a case to case kind of an assessment before one can get lending. So in a downward phase, it becomes slightly difficult. So there are impeding issues there that would preclude one from entering the market. But from a price perspective, it definitely is becoming relatively more attractive.
Yeah. I don't know how much of a difference a 25 basis or 50 basis point cut in interest rates, you know, makes to everyone, given the fact that we are facing so many other expenses, not just our properties.
Yes.
But do you expect that the Reserve Bank may decide to cut rates, especially because it's a conversation that was had at the last MPC meeting, given the fact that our economy is in such dire straits and it needs all the help it can get?
Yes. Look, it is our view that we are likely to see a cut in the next MPC meeting. We think that the environment allows for the Reserve Bank to cut interest rates. I mean, inflation as well, NCAD, the rand is less volatile, though in the past couple of days we've seen that volatility. But in the main, it has been very well behaved. So the environment is ripe for the Reserve Bank to cut interest rates, especially with, as you correctly point out, with a negative 3.2 economic growth.
Yes.
So it's an opportune time for them to lower interest rate. But a 25 basis point cut, you're right. It's not great, but it is something. And especially now, we've seen in the past 10 years or so, South Africa has been in this phase of shallow cycle.
Yeah.
You would remember that the last time they hiked by 25 and they stopped and they cut, and then they stopped by 25 and then they stopped.
Mm.
So it's very shallow cycles that we find ourselves in. In that environment, really, we need everything we can. We can get
every
little support we can get from the Reserve Bank. I mean, we'll take it.
We'll take whatever we can get. Thanks very much, Sipho Mandla, for your time. That was Sipho Mandla Mkhwananzi. He's an economist at FNB.